So today, you can go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're going to go a lot of places and probably pretty quickly. I want to talk to you about the enemies of faith. And it won't be all of them, but it'll be some of them. And, you know, we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. And we are called to walk with and in the Spirit and not by the law or by legalism. You live your life trusting that the Heavenly Father will do what He promised He would do, right? That's walking by faith. You're Spirit-led, not law-led. Not supposed to be led by a church who makes up a bunch of rules and regulations for you. You live by the law of love. You live by what Jesus has done. And you're not trying to earn anything from God. You don't need to earn anything. Jesus earned it for you. All you need to do is live in it and just follow what... If you were to look in the natural, the closest thing I could think of would be the GPS now. That's how Holy Spirit operates with you. The good thing about the Holy Spirit is He'll tell you what is to come. And He'll show you the way. Amen. And so I just want to give you a few of the enemies of faith. Number one, identity. Identity. One of the greatest hindrances you'll deal with is your identity. Many people have a lack of understanding of their identity in Christ, and that's why I led you to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, things have become new. So you're a new creature. You're not who you used to be. When you get born again, you become a new creature. You're not the same person. You'll look the same to everybody else for a while, then that'll eventually begin to change too. But on the inside, that dead part of you will actually light up. So if this is hindering any of you while I'm talking to you, you'll just want to just try to bear with me today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, Colossians 1:21 says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in his sight. So you're blameless in God's eyes today. Right now, you're blameless in God's eyes. You are absolutely blameless. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And 1 Peter 2:9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who are called, you are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So then you're special to God. That's pretty cool. You're actually special. You're not way back in some line here going, I don't even know you. You're special to God. He loves you. That's who we are. That's your identity. And then Revelation 1:5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. So he's also made you a king and a priest. Glory to God. Now, over in Romans 8, the word tells us that we're children and heirs. So God is our Father. Over in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit refers to God as our daddy. Yes. That's pretty personal. The word Abba there in the Greek, that's very personal. It just means God is our daddy.
Amen. Yes.
And so and that means you're an heir, which means whatever God has is yours. Yes. Amen. Yes. So you need to have that in your identity to be able to even start walking in faith. You're not a nobody. You're somebody important to God. You say, well, I just break the rules and I don't care about God. It doesn't really matter. He cares about you. He cares about you. But in order to use your faith, you have to become aware of how much God loves you. So let me just paint you a picture like this. This will help you. Imagine a baby. A little baby born out from an unwed mother. No one knows who the daddy is, and no one wants to know. Okay? He's a child that nobody wants. He doesn't belong to anyone. Okay? Now picture the best kind of family coming along that you can think of. A family that loves God, a man with a good job, they're blessed financially, they're givers and lovers of people, and they fall in love with this little baby. And so before long, they adopt this little baby. Well, what happened? The baby was reborn. Amen? The baby was reborn. He got a new set of parents. Amen. Through adoption, he's now become an heir. Right. Why? Not because of what the baby's done. Amen. The parents didn't say, just look at what all this baby has done for us. We're so impressed. He certainly has earned our respect. He's a baby. See, he couldn't have done anything to earn the blessing. He's a baby. So the man and the woman agreed together out of the love of their own hearts and bestowed grace on this child. And now he has access to everything they have. And when you offer him a bottle, he doesn't knock it out of the way and say, oh no, I'm so undeserving. Just give me some water. No, the baby takes some milk and goes, give me that milk. It's mine. Right? The baby acts like part of the family. Not just the family. Listen. Not just the family, but the best part of the family. Because in Jesus' day, in the Jewish, with the Jewish people, if you were adopted, you came straight into covenant and you came in the number one slot. In other words, you were like the firstborn. So there was no, well, he's blood and you're not blood. So you're in the family, but we're not going to treat you like the ones that are blood. That doesn't exist in God, and that shouldn't exist anywhere in adoption. But I'm telling you, it's absolutely true that in covenant, because what is covenant? Cut where the blood flows, right? They become your blood. Amen. Well, that's what happened to you. You're the firstborn. It says you're a joint heir with Jesus. Jesus is the firstborn. Amen? And so you need to understand your identity. You are in Christ, and you are a joint heir with Christ. You're not number two, number three, and number four, number five. I mean, it may seem like that, but really, you're number one to God. He cared so much for you that he gave his number one, and he expects a number one in return. Amen. So if you'll get who you are and that God loves you, then it's going to help you stand in your faith. Number two is condemnation. Condemnation it's an adverse sentence. It's unfavorable. You're accused. You're convicted. We see it in Romans 8. Scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, some translations here, church, actually say, therefore there's no more voices of condemnation. But that's not true. That's not a good translation. Because there are voices of condemnation, and one of them is the devil speaking into your mind and telling you that you're not worthy, that you're condemned, that you don't deserve anything from God. So there other people will actually treat you that way. They'll say about you, whatever. So there are accusing, condemning voices, okay? But the truth is there's no legal condemnation on your life. You're not condemned. The sentence is over with you. There's no condemnation on you. Now, you say, yeah, but you know, I was just acting like a heathen 2 hours ago. Well, the beautiful thing about Romans 8:1, it says now. And now updates itself every time you say it. Yeah. So all the other stuff can wash away right now and you're okay. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God is good. So you don't have to be under any condemnation. Just get rid of all of it. Praise the Lord. Number three is your past, and that connects with condemnation, connects with the next one, but I put it out separately because it needs to be. Number three, enemy of God, your past. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So your past is, it's gone. Now, there are two things that try to bother you about your past. Okay? There's two things. Number one, what you did. And number two, what somebody did to you. Those are the two things that try to bother you about your past. So you forgive yourself because God has, and you forgive other people. That's all you have to do. Well, it's really hard for me to forgive that one who abused me. Well, let's step back on that. See, that needs to be one of the easiest things you want to do, because if you are still being troubled by that person who was abusive, they're still controlling your life right now. So see, what I've learned and what I know is that the Holy Spirit can move you into such a place that you don't even remember being abused. It's just forgotten. It's over. And by the way, that person may be gone to glory already or has a whole different life now. And even if they didn't, the chapter will end and someday their life will change one way or the other. Yeah. But you can leave that to God, knowing that He'll take care of it and that you can go free from anything that happened in your past. You know, you can genuinely love people. I've seen people who, someone murdered their child, and they went to the courtroom and actually forgave the person in person and ended up in a relationship with them. Yeah. See, how does that happen? Because they realize that people do things, that the enemy causes people to do things. Yeah. The enemy causes people to get pick up habits and do things like that. And so, just like the enemy caused you to do a few things. So, you know, Jesus said, he who is without sin can cast the first stone. Amen. Number four is ignorance. This is one I like to talk about. Ignorance is not stupidity. We need to know about this one. It's a lack of knowledge. And, You're inexperienced, you're oblivious, you're unaware would what you would be if you'd be ignorant. I think people kind of put it in there with stupid, but it isn't so. A lot of Christians, church, actually have lack of knowledge of scriptural or spiritual walk or what happens in the spiritual life. They just think it's church. You just go to church and you go to church and then maybe that makes you feel good because you went to church, and you can just say you went to church. And I don't know if I can go. The roof might fall in on me because I'm a bad boy or a bad girl. See, but that doesn't have anything to do with the walk in the Spirit. People that go to church and just follow the church's rules and just try to earn things, they're not really walking in the Spirit. They're walking by the rules of that particular church. They're not walking in what God really has for them. God wants a relationship and a friendship. Amen. You don't have to know thee and thou to talk to God. People are like, sometimes I can't believe how y'all talk to God. You call Him Papa. He is my Papa. He is my Daddy. I do honor Him. I do call Him Father, but sometimes I call Him Papa. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Well, so it seems like y'all's group bosses God around. Y'all are kind of arrogant about that. No, we're just not religious. The Bible says, according to the work of my hands, command ye me. Not talking about bossing God around. It's talking about everything that He's already put into motion, we're able to take and use it in this world. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But people are ignorant of that. People hear crazy things and just believe it. They hear things and they go, oh, that sounds good. That'll help me. I won't have to submit if I know that there's just a bunch of money grubbing preachers out there. I can blame them for that because then they're hypocrites. But they don't really know what goes on in all the churches, do they? I'm sure there are some charlatans out there. But most of the people I hang around with, if not all of them, are trying to get something to you, not from you. Trying to help you with things when it comes to finances. Trying to help you when it comes to faith. Not trying to just get people to just do what you want, but trying to get you to understand how to trust God and live with Him and become His friend and know His ways, not just His acts, but His ways. So when you don't know, that you're the righteousness of God. See, some people are like, well, will I ever be righteous? I don't know how I'll be righteous. See, they haven't read the Bible. Because the Bible says you are the, if you're a born again Christian, you are the righteousness of God. You already are. It's who you are. And if you'll start living out of who you are, you'll start feeling good about yourself. Get a clue, church. Everybody in the world is just as bad as you are. And get a clue. Jesus made us all right.
Yes, he did.
You are the righteousness of God, but people don't know that. People don't know that they have authority. Well, whatever happens, you know, que sera, sera, or well, however fate takes us. But that isn't true. The Bible says in the first chapter of the book that he gave you dominion and authority, and you could use your mouth and bring things to pass by the power of God.
That is right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just got to have more than just a clue. Need to be like that lady who got her barbecue. She went and got her barbecue, and she looked at the plate, and she went back up there and said, excuse me, do bread come with this?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because bread came with it. You need to know what comes with it.
Well, that's so good.
Like the story I've been telling you for 20 years around here. The guy that bought the ticket and came over to the new land on the boat.
Yeah.
He sat outside and ate the cheese and the crackers because he didn't know the meals were included on the ticket.
Right.
See, you got to find out, you know, salvation, people need to find out this isn't about you just trying to act right.
Amen.
That's totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It goes a completely different way. Mm-hmm. It's that you find out who God is, what he's done, who you really are. You pick up his nature, and then good things start happening to you and through you.
Amen.
This is the fun stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't know about it. Praise the Lord. Number five is flesh. So Romans 8:1 again, there is therefore now no condemnation to him that are in Christ Jesus. But listen to this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what happens is once you get in and you start growing, what you need to define and decide is that you're not going to be able to make a judgment by taste, touch, smell, hear, and see all the time. Because there's actually a dimension that's going on right now that you can't see. You can't see the angelic force in this room. You can't see. We're light speed. We're actually light speed down. Light speed is what? 86 miles per second. It's moving, right? But we're on the scale where God's light speed up. You can't, why could Jesus walk through the wall that day? Because he's light speed up. He has different molecules. He is flesh and bone. You know that, don't you? That's how your body's gonna be. But, you know, in heaven, they're not walking through the walls because those walls are made in a different dimension. Well, right now, there's all sorts of stuff working around you. In fact, just in the natural, there's infrared and ultraviolet working around you. You can't see it. Hey, get a clue. You can't see your brain, but you've got one.
Yeah.
At least three quarters of you do. Now, I'm kidding. We all do. Just that was a joke. But 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart. So they weren't getting it through eye. It couldn't enter into the heart, the believer. It couldn't enter in there if they were just going to look with their eyes. You had to look into the dimension. You have to look into light speed up. And the only way you're going to look into light speed up is through faith. You're going to have to look through the eye of faith. So you can't go, well, they prayed, but I didn't feel anything leave me. I still feel sick. Well, that's not looking into the other realm. That's looking into the natural. It's not about how you feel. However, if you believe, pretty soon you will feel good because that supernatural will supersede this natural is when you start believing in it, when you start walking in that, and it'll overtake the natural. That's the whole business of being a Christian, is that the supernatural overtakes the natural. And so it hasn't entered into the heart of your heart. But listen to this part. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by what? By his Spirit. By his Spirit. So it's the Spirit that you can't see. But you know he's here. Unless you're just really dull. You right now can be aware that there's an anointed presence in the house. And then inside you, you have the Holy Spirit moving and flowing. And he will come up on you. Especially if you're eating what I'm saying. Okay? So the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you. You've had those moments where you've gone, I could do that. Oh, that's mine. Oh, I'm supposed to do this. Oh, I see what it said there. That's right. You've had these moments. That's Holy Spirit leading you. He's that GPS we were talking about in the offering word. See, because the thing is if you can see it, you can have it. If you can see it, you can have it, but you have to see it in the other realm. You have to see it with the eyes of faith. So you can't just be a flesh person. You can't just be a meathead.
Yeah.
Carnal. That's what that word actually means. Meat, carne, right? So everybody went to lunch right then. Carne, guisada. Okay. So, but what you actually do is when you see it and you get your faith going, it'll manifest for you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Number six, this is the last one. Fear. Yeah, this is the biggie. Now listen, church. Satan can't do anything to you apart from fear. Any more than God can do anything for you apart from faith. You have to go those ways. Faith moves God because faith, God is a God of faith. Fear moves Satan because fear is in Satan. Okay? So what is faith? Well, faith is a spiritual force. It's God's creative power. It's the substance of things hoped for, isn't it? So what is fear? It's a spiritual force. Satan's destructive power. The substance of things not desired. Well, I just know this is going to happen. Do you remember Job? He just knew his kids were going to get messed up partying, and they did. Because that let Satan in.
Yeah.
God didn't take down the hedge. Job took down the hedge. So that fear, and then you just start talking. I just don't know if we'll get it. I just don't know if I'm going to have it. I just don't know. That is bringing on the power of the enemy in your life. Amen. So how does faith work? Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith is developed through meditating and acting on the word. Faith is applied by speaking things that are not as though they were. Y'all know that, Romans 4:16-17. Jesus is the author and developer of our faith. How does fear work? Faith works, or comes by the word of the world. Yeah. Fear's developed through meditating and acting on Satan's lies. We're not going to make the rent. I'm not going to make my car payment. I don't know if I'm okay. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know. I have this bump. This bump might turn into something. I might die next week. Blah, 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 blah. See, that's what's going on. And I'm talking what your mind's doing. They don't love me. They don't love me. She's going to break up with me. I think she's going to break up with me. Oh, no. Will she break up with me? This is going on in your mind. You have fear of rejection. They don't really. They won't. They're going to leave me. They're going to leave me. They're going to leave me. They won't like me. They won't like me. I think they look at me and they know what I'm thinking and they know what I've done and they don't like me. That's all just the devil.
It is.
But that's how he works. But you could be thinking, favor and fun in 21. Amen. See, fear demands compromise. Satan supports and develops fear. He's all about getting that into your life. It becomes doubt and unbelief when it's acted upon. Amen. Fear has to be received before it can enter the heart. Church, listen to me. Every born-again believer has a fountain of faith. Every man, according to Romans 3, has been given a measure of faith, right? But fear left you. Fear comes from outside and has an influence with it. And so you have to do something with that fear. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. What? So the question is, how do you, it has to be an act of the will to stop fear, doesn't it? So how? Well, I can tell you two things to do. First, it's found in Matthew 6:24, when Jesus, remember he told them, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about how you're going to pay your bills type thing. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. And he said, he makes this statement. He says, take no thought by saying. So the way that you're going to take a fearful thought is by saying it. Yeah. See, that's when it enters. That's when deception enters. Brother Hagin used to say, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you don't have to let them nest in your hair. Meaning you don't have to take it. No, I'm not. No, I'm not going down. No, I'm not quitting. No, I'm not going to die. No, they're not leaving me. Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
You have to talk back. And so you don't take a thought. The second thing is to believe the love. Believe that God loves you. You know, 1 John 4:16, 3:1, Luke 12:32, John 17:23, and we know that John the Beloved, he wrote all these things. He knew how much Jesus loved him. He got a revelation of love. He had a revelation of hesed. He understood God's obligatory love. And he would say, he would call himself the one who Jesus loved. That arrogant thing. I think it was his faith guy making a good confession. You faith people are so arrogant. You're always talking about how blessed and rich you are. No, we're making faith confessions. It's a lot better than saying gloom, despair, and agony on me. I'm miserable. Let's play a country music song where I lose everything. You took a fine time to leave me, Lucille, and all that kind of stuff. How about, no, I win. I'm blessed. As I can help other people, I'm so blessed. Life is good for me. I'm having fun in 21. How about making that confession instead of just junk coming out your mouth? God loves me. He's going to take care of me. Now, you two girls have a good daddy. And it's no doubt in your mind that he'll take care of you. Is there? Are you concerned about it? No, see, you're not concerned at all. You're like, dad'll be there. In fact, dad's been there for me when the snake comes crawling over to my house. Larry, come over there! He come over there and kill that snake! Whatever, and you know, there were neighbors, and they called us when we're having the snowmageddon. And, you know, we're all talking to each other, but, you know, checking on each other. But there's no doubt that there's some of you that if I called you and I really needed you, you would come. John Calvary would come. I know that. Absolutely. My sister would come. I know that about her. Okay. And many of you, I feel the same way about. Well, think how much bigger God is than anybody I just named. He's already there. He'll provide a way. There's always a way. When our pipe broke in the well, and it was in a place that I couldn't do it. I just knew I didn't have the strength to cut this board out and did it and all the stuff. It was a big part. And I walked outside and I said, Lord, you know that I need you to help me right now. And I heard over across the fence, Roxy, you got a problem over there? Here came my neighbor, fixed it. Yeah. Then I had some other neighbors help me too, Art and Amanda. But God had a way. He always has a way. He has a way that he'll find a way to help you. Unless you just don't want it and you're just going to go ahead and stay stuck in fear land. Stay stuck in God doesn't care about me. Or how could, this is the major one is how could God care about me? Because y'all don't know what I've done. But the truth is we all know what you've done because we've all done something similar. It's true. Jesus talked about it's wrong to murder. And what did he say right after that? It's wrong to hate. Silence in the church. But see, fear comes with an influence. Let's talk about that for just one moment here before we go. When fear comes, you feel that in your stomach, or you're like, you feel this, you feel a sensation. So you're going to have to do something with that. So that's when you need not be ignorant of the power of the name of Jesus. Because you can command that thing to go with your authority and the name of Jesus, and that influence will leave you. And if you're having trouble where you just can't quite get past it, ask a friend to help you. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the best, most popular fivefold preacher in the world. Everybody needs someone to pray for them sometime. Be so proud that you wouldn't do that. I don't need anyone. You need the body of Christ. Amen. So just meditate on how much Father loves you. I remember Creflo saying, I believe it was his mother-in-law got very ill, and he's done it too. He said you get to the place where you're really down so much that it was even hard to get up and start reading and making confessions or watching something. And the only thing either one of them or both of them could do is say, Jesus loves me. And so he just kept whispering, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. And he kept saying it until he believed it. And he began to turn around and get better. Yeah. No, Jesus loves me. I know Jesus loves me. Yeah. Jesus loves me. That simple little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You could just say that and faith will begin to build. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So you use your authority, you rebuke the influence, you talk out loud. Words fight thoughts. Everybody close your eyes. We're going to do this in case there's somebody new here today that needs to hear this. I want you in your mind, not out loud, just in your mind, I want you to start counting to 10. But when I say your name, I want you to say it, okay? Okay, ready? Start counting in your mind. Say your name. What happened to your counting? Stopped. It stopped. Why? Because words stop thoughts.
That's right.
Words stop thoughts. So words stopped that thought. So when I'm going to lose, I'm not going to make it. There's no way. There's no one to help me. I'm out here by myself. What do you say? No. In the name of Jesus, God will never leave me or forsake me. Papa, I thank you for helping me right now. You talk to it. Words fight thoughts. Thoughts don't fight thoughts. You talk to the mountain and not about the mountain. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We have this big old mountain. We have this big old mountain. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? No, talk to that mountain. You're getting out of the way. You'll be removed and be cast into the sea. What's the point of casting to the sea? Can't see it anymore. Thank you, Jesus. The enemies of faith are wrong identity, condemnation, your past, ignorance, flesh, and fear. The friends of faith are that you're a child of God who God loves, that you're free from the law of sin and death. That's not you. You're free from death and the accuser. Is that right? Hey, how did they get past the accuser over in Revelation? What did it say? Quote it. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They knew about the blood and they opened their mouth. Said the accuser was cast down. When the enemy comes in, listen, the only thing Satan has left, the only thing that's intact with him is his intellect. And what he does is try to deceive you. Mm-hmm. The Bible says the wiles that you'll put down the wiles of the devil. Okay, over there where Paul's talking. What does that mean? The wiles is actually, when it's translated out, it only means with a road, with one road. It's telling you that the enemy only has one way into you, and it's deception. Yeah. But he can try to talk to you, but you won't be deceived unless you take the thought. You won't be deceived. And so what happens is if you say, that's not my thought in the name of Jesus, I will not fear. You didn't take that thought. It's put away from you. Resist Satan and he'll flee from you. You see that? But that's the only thing that he has. Deception takes place when you go ahead and say what the devil's saying to you. That's the only tool he has. He can't jump on you and go, blah, blah, blah. People are like, oh no, what if I end up like the lady in The Exorcist? And you won't let any of that in.
Yeah.
You won't if you don't let darkness in. Just, no, I'm not. I'm a person of the light.
Amen.
You're not getting in here. Yeah, but there's, get that butt out of there. There's no buts. His only deception is using the power of your words. Yeah, but you know, I've been in this over here so long, I don't even think, it's hard for me to attend church because the dumb blim blim blim. Well, put the dumb blim blim blim. Y'all didn't think I could do it twice, did you? You put that down. You put that down. We're just teaching here today, church. You're going to have to put that down. You're going to say, no. It's not the way, I'm not going. No drama, llama. I'm not going that way.
Amen.
You're not going to win.
Right.
You know you're not worthy. Jesus made you worthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, we don't deserve anything except that Jesus paid for us. We're all in the same boat here. But because Jesus paid, we are worthy. And he will take care of you. And you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High.
That's right. Yeah.
How are you? How do you know you're dwelling in the secret place? Somebody tell me. I don't care if everybody's listening online. Tell me, somebody online, tell me. How is it that you're dwelling in the secret place? Who said it? Somebody said, because you say so? Well, go over to Psalm 91 and let's look. Let's just look. Your Bible probably opens to that, doesn't it? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the one in the universe that has the most abundant strength, power, and assets. That's who he is.
Wow.
He's the biggest one in the universe.
Yes.
Almighty.
Yes.
He has resourceful strength for you.
Yes.
Okay? Now, so next line. Let's read it together. Verse 2. Ready? Read. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will trust. I will say. That's how you get in. That's how you get in. Just go over there periodically and say, I say of the Lord, you're my refuge. The devil's not going to have me. Socialism is not going to have me. The evil that's gone on in this world is not going to have me. I'm going to have favor and fun in 2021. And that's my confession. This is the year that we will abundantly catch up and go over and move forward, recover all in Jesus' name. And you are not going to have me. And my body's not going to break down. And my mind's not going to break down. And my emotions are not going to break down. And we're not going to fall apart. We're going to make it. My relationships are not going to fall apart. Because I'm not going to let them, because I'm going to make the right confession.
That's right. Amen.
So what you're trying to tell me is, you name it, claim it, person. What you're trying to tell me is you think if you can just say it, you can have it. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. Exactly. If you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, that's how you got saved. And that's how you'll get everything else out of the realm. The Bible says over in Ephesians 3 that God gave you everything and he keeps it in the realm. Your cars, your trucks, your houses, your healing, your joy, everything is kept into the realm until you make a demand upon it.
Yeah.
And don't tell me it doesn't work. I've been doing it for over 30 years and it works. It's all about farming. Jesus said the sower sows the word. It's about sowing and reaping your harvest. It takes words to reap a harvest. Some of y'all, well, I sowed a seed a long time ago, and I never got a thing back off my financial seed. Well, I wonder why, because you haven't reaped it with words. It's just true. We all need to do it.
Yes.
We all need to reap our harvest with words.
Yes.
Thank you that it's mine, Lord. Thank you that it's mine. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for this word today. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are aware of the enemies of faith. Thank you, Lord, that we are blessed today. We're blessed coming in today. We're blessed going out today. We're blessed in all we do. We are first and not last. We are the biggest lion in the den. We are the strongest fire in the furnace. We are. The angels move forward because that's who we are. They shut the mouth of the lion when they see who's the strongest lion. That's what happened to Daniel. He was the strongest lion in the den. That's what the sages say. And so the angels came in there and shut those lions' mouth. Now there's the same prayer. Is a lion going to eat you? David said, I killed the lion. I killed the bear. And I'll take down this uncircumcised Philistine, someone without a covenant. Well, the evil one does not have a covenant with God.
That's right.
But you do. You're blessed.
Yes.